You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you very much for your word, Spirit of God, for your wonderful work, ministry to make clear, simple, plain, our Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful person, his wonderful work on Calvary's cross, for your word. So help us even now. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the upper room hours before the crucifixion, and in John chapter 14, we have found that the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to encourage and to stimulate a group of 11 men that are willing to go to prison and die. As far as they're concerned, they can't see any other out. They can't see any other avenue. That's what they're looking for. And in the process, he's seeking to encourage them that he was going to go away, and that when he went away, he would make possible a wonderful, wonderful ministry for those that remain. And they would be his witnesses of his resurrected life. That's what they would have a responsibility to show forth, his wonderful person. And they would enjoy his wonderful person. Look over in chapter 14 and in verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So in his going, he's not going far. He's just going up in his perfect humanity, seated at the right hand of God, and thus able to come. And I will not leave you comfortless orphans. I'm going to be there. The Father's going to be there. And God, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. So we're all going to be there. So you aren't going to be alone at all. Therefore, he tells them, as we share together, that he and the Father are one, and they ought to have understood who he is. He was standing in front of them in his perfect humanity at that point, and he was bringing them, helping them understand that they had all of God in front of them in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Father. He's all in one, one in all. He's all. So you want to have comfort, help, look out into the distant past, looking into the awesome future, looking into the present moment. He said, I have all of that. All of that's in front of you when you look at me. I have the whole thing. I am the whole thing. Now, therefore, he encourages them further, as we share together, verse 9, 10, and 11. And in verse 12, we've been sharing together, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, without any question, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, that I am doing, shall he do also. And greater works, greater quantity, quality works, than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now remember the works we've shared together. God is going to demonstrate his wonderful life in the person of Jesus Christ, who is going to be their Savior and Lord. And therefore, they're going to be able to do and show forth, not themselves. It isn't about themselves. It's about him. They're going to show the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, resurrected from the grave. He, Christ in them, the hope of glory. That's what you want to lock on to. God. So when you look at any one of them, you would see they are housing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see them together, they are together housing the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the temple. They are the building, his body, his temple. And they're there. So they have a unique relationship to God, and they're going to have that relationship. And in doing so, they're going to evidence that relationship by way of their works. And the works witness the relationship. How do you know? By their works. Watch them. See their behavior. You'll know what a person believes by their behavior. Their behavior is nothing but their beliefs in action. Now, so here, looking at that and keeping that in mind, it's an awesome thing. And we share together that awesome truth that you're going to do just like I did, and I'm going to do it inside of you. And our Lord Jesus said it clearly, John chapter 15, right next door. Chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And by the way, for without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. You understand? The branch can't enjoy leaves, can't enjoy fruit, unless it's attached. You can't detach it. You can't lay the branch on the ground. The branch has to be attached. Otherwise, there's no life. You have to have a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ to have life, eternal life. And that's God, that's what you're saying. So you're going to evidence your wonderful life in the body of believers, wherever they are. And you're going to do so in an awesome way. Now, in order to catch this and to grab it a little bit, let's just look at a couple of things that we know, but we need to put them together. God, you said that they're going to be able to do these things, and in verse, well, back over to chapter 14, and in verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, we're going to look at that, but not right now. We just got to get this part to remind ourselves. Now, here's God. And in chapter 15, God is going to do wonderful things. A, you're going to, when a believer receives him as their Lord and Savior, they have a unique, wonderful relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ in all of his fullness. Now, chapter 15, the Spirit of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, why are the believers going to be able to have such a ability, such capability to bear witness? Because of their relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ, whom they should receive as their Lord and Savior. And in chapter 15, verse 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry isn't to go and exalt and help you. It's to bring out from you and bring to you and from you life. Spirit of God's ministry. What a God. What do you want? I'm going to do something. You made a commitment to what? Honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? We received him as our Savior. If we received him, we're saved. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in us in a most awesome, wonderful way. And therefore, as the Spirit of God does that, he's going to represent, as it says the end of verse 26, he shall testify, bear witness of me. So his assignment is to bear witness to the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and it will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to honor the person of Jesus Christ in a most awesome way. That's what he's going to do. And the Spirit, that's what he's going to do. He's going to honor the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to continue his evidence of his resurrection, of the resurrected life of our Lord, that's what our ministry, that's what the ministry is, that's what the believers are for, to enjoy the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord whom they have received as their Savior. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it happen. That's his assignment, to make it happen. In all of its fullness. Hang on to that. Wow. Now, and so not only is that true, that in itself is awesome, because that's what he's going to do. And we don't want to grieve him, cause him pain, sadness. We don't want to quench or limit him. God, the Spirit of God's ministry, wants to produce, wants to exercise the wonderful ministry of Jesus Christ in the believing heart to bear evidence of whom? Of himself. Of his resurrection. It isn't about you, whether you did good at work or at school or whatever. No, it's about God bearing witness to his wonderful, wonderful person who has died, buried, and rose again to make it possible to know him in a saving, satisfying way. Now, so in the light of that, while you're here, John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, picking up if I can, in verse 5, our Lord, remember, he's going to finish, and then he goes out to the garden, chapter 18, and then to the trial, crucifixion. Chapter 17, to the Father. Perfect humanity, God looking to the Father, and in his wonderful person. Therefore, chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And how is that going to be? He's going to go and be crucified. Over to chapter 13. John chapter 13, remember. And in verse 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus, that's Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So the Son of Man is going to honor the Father is going to honor the Son. Verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and he shall straightway glorify him. How can God be God in the Son, God the Father, God the Son? Wherever God is, he's going to be glorified. He's going to go to the cross, he's going to glorify God on the cross. That's what the whole thing was from. That's why everything was created before the Lamb, before the world ever, before angels, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It's all about you, God. That's correct. Now, and therefore, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So, God, what is God the Son saying? I want to be returned. I'm coming back home, leaving the body, crucified, risen. I'm going to come with a resurrected body. I'm going to come all the way back into your holy, happy heaven. And I'm going to do so. I'm expecting to have all of the glory that I had with thee before I left. Now hang on to that. The glory of God. Slide down to verse 22. And the glory, what are you going to do to help us, the church? And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. The glory The glory what? The glory that thou gave me. So you want God, what are you saying, Lord? I want the glory that I had with God the Father. I want that glory in you. That's what I want. I want that glory in you. Which glory? That I had with my Father. Verse 10. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and what? I am glorified in them. It's all about you, God. That's right. And I want you to know, not only is the Spirit of God going to do honor who I am, God, in Christ, I'm going to honor the Spirit of God, what? I'm going to honor the glory that God, the Holy Spirit, you are glorious. God the Father, you are glorious. God the Son, you are glorious. And you want that glory in the believing heart. Think about that. What would that do if we ever understood that? And what I'm trying to get, we may not get there, but at least I'm headed there. I like to go there. I want you to understand the marvel of all marvels to be a child of God for real right now. I bet you wouldn't find 2% of believers, that's just a wild guess, that enjoy that. They don't know it. They don't, nothing there. But it's what it is. And it centered itself in the person of who you are. We could have titled the title, It's a Wonderful Life. That's what it is. God has given you an awesome life to live. Hang on to that. That's what you're supposed to do. That's why he said, the works that I do, greater works I will do in you. And you will do the works. You will do them. How so? Because I'm giving you the glory of my God. By way of the Spirit of God, how can you miss? But we can, can't we? Can't we miss? Oh boy, gone. We don't even see it. Can't be. Can't be. We tried to touch on that in the conference. One of the toughest things in the world is for a believer to believe that God is in them. Do you understand that? Now you can all, we can all shake our heads. But I'm telling you, practically, nope. We talk about it, pray about it, preach about it. But it isn't grabbing us. A whole nother world, a whole nother life to live. God, we're off again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. May I read it directly? I'm going to read verse 15, actually. 2 Corinthians 5:15. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Nope, no more. It's not about us. But unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ before he was crucified. It didn't do us any good at all. He had everything, and he couldn't hand it to us because we weren't in the place. So we knew him. Ah, but it isn't about knowing him on the way up in the upper room. No. Verse 60. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. No. He's risen. We have served, we serve and believe. Think of Romans, you don't have to turn there. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe in thine heart that what? That he rose again. You believe in the heart, not he's crucified. You believe in your heart that Christ rose again. That's what you're believing. It's about life. It's about a relationship. It's about an awesome relationship. That's correct. And therefore, the statement, wonderful statement that helps us put it all together, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, relationship, he is a new creature, a new creation, Jew, Gentile, and now Church of God, which is so special. He is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So God, you made everything new. That's right. That's right. I crucified, you understand, I crucified you, buried, and rose again. And when you received me as my your Savior, I brought to you the wonderful person that he is, Christ in us, and brought it in with all of the benefits of God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, with my word, with my work, I bring it, my glory, I'm giving you it, I'm giving you myself. Now, and therefore, if I may, therefore it isn't what? We share this repeatedly. It's not by works, working. It's not our works, no. No, not our works at all. Our works are dead works. Our works are, God saves us from serving, exercising dead works to serve the living God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. No flesh shall glory in his presence. Nope, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So God, we did over and over again. What? It isn't anything about your works, about your lifestyle, your IQ, your talent, etc., etc. It isn't about that. It's about a relationship. All things have passed away. Oh, not those. Not those. I'm counting on those. Don't. All things have become what? New. Count on that. That doesn't mean he throws away your brain, your parents, your background, or anything. It just means that isn't the key issue that makes you live the life that you ought to live. You have a relationship to God, and you outwork that relationship to God in a unique and wonderful way, and you're the same son, daughter of your parents, etc., etc. The difference is you got saved, and God saved you from all relationships on earth, and you still have them, in some form, fashion, but they have been overridden, and God has given you a relationship to himself that overrides all relationships. If a man love father, mother more than me, he cannot what? Be my disciple. It overrides them all. You have them, but they aren't locked in like this, and you're able to live them. Only you live them in a whole new way, a whole new husband, a whole new wife, a whole new daughter, a whole new son, a whole new employee, a whole new world. That's right. And God, that's right. And to live a wonderful, wonderful life in a most wonderful way. And we're to reckon ourselves dead indeed, what? Unto sin, Romans 6:11, and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Now, therefore, the world looks. When I look at look at the church, believers, that's where the body evidences itself. It's nowhere else in no other way. The body has to be together of believing believers in order to function. Can't function without it. Liver, spleen, little jaws in formaldehyde or wherever you put them in, and you got them all lined up, all the jaws. But you need them out of the jaws in your body. That's the only place you can exercise. You can try it, do whatever you want. It isn't the same. Not the same, and it'll never happen. I'm trying to tell you, it won't happen. And a proof of that is, go out there and look and talk to the so-called people. And you won't find it. Won't find it at all. Because it can't happen. It can only happen in God's prescribed way when believers are gathered together in his name and he's the head. We're the body, and God, you're going to go and do what? We understand, we exercise your wonderful person and presence. We have an awesome relationship to know your life in an awesome way. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, so we're going to live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's right. Now remember, there's an illustration, if I can. If you could just imagine yourself back there with Adam and Eve before they sinned. You got your imagination going? Adam and Eve, they haven't sinned. And all they have is one tree. They could play football with the fruit, just don't eat it. And they have all of it there. Now, God, would you tell me what their worries would be? Do they have to worry about health? They have to worry about the weather? Have to worry about food? Do they have to worry about life? Do they have to worry about death? No. No. They were an environment. They were in his environment, and until they sinned, they had an awesome environment. Didn't they? When you got saved, God brought an awesome environment, his environment, into you. He brought his environment into you. That's what he did. That's why you can't beat it. We shared it in Sunday school. You can't beat in the body as a believer. You couldn't beat it anywhere in the whole forever. Wow. And you are privileged among all people. You could have been born in Saudi Arabia back in the days of Abraham. You could have been born, I don't want to be born in Mount Sinai. You could be born anywhere. But you were born after the cross, before the tribulation. And that's the most awesome place at all, because it's where rank unbelief and darkness prevail. And God is taking, as we said in Sunday school, taking whosoever's. They don't deserve one drop of anything. And he's placing them. Oh, not in a church, no. No, he's placing them in his son. Do you understand that? It's a whole new world, a whole new life. How many live it? How many even know it? Wow. Now, God, here we are. Now, so we did that. Now, I'm going to go. And you know, without so many directions, but you know, when you, over, if you would, please, in Revelation chapter 2. I'm just going to run by you fast, but not too fast. Where we've been. Because we tried to cover the main areas. The whole New Testament is about this. The epistles, the whole ball game is about what I'm trying to make you think about. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You understand? And you can't read the epistles without, it's all about it. It isn't about anything out here. It's about in here, where we're together in your presence, in his presence. And that's where it's all going to happen. And when it happens, then it shows up all over the world. And you go to work, home, and school, whatever you're doing, hospital, bed, whatever, and you show up. You show up a wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man, a woman, boy, a girl, same fleshly body, same everything. The difference is they house, they have resident, none other than Almighty God, who designed them in his image and likeness to know him. Well, now, so, Revelation chapter 2. Remember, each time, I'm going to look at verse 2. You don't have to do this, because we did this a little bit. Revelation 2:2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. You're going to, that's the word we're looking at. Works. You're going to do greater works. God, what are you looking for in the assembly when they assemble? I'm looking to check their works. That means you're here checking our works. That's right. That's right. And you said in Revelation 2, in that 2:1, you walk up and down checking our works. They didn't check your giving, checked your works, your relationship. That's what I want to know. I'm looking at your relationships. Yeah, got it. See? Wow. That's what I am. In every church. Uh-huh. Where my church, your churches, our churches, no, I don't bother with them. Where my church is. Where believers are believing. That's my church. That's where I am. Now, so here's that. That's works. And you're doing that, God. Boy, you must be going to look for something, because you told us, greater works will you do than I did. So therefore, you must expect them. Therefore, you're looking at each church to show them. What are you looking for? Well, the greater works can't have greater works. It isn't your works, they're his works. And greater in quantity and quality, wow. Now, sliding over, if you can, over to O. James. Not far away, and we share that together. That whole section, all I'm doing is taking a piece of it to remind you, how are you going to read your New Testament? How are you going to do it? Wow. So, God, James, what are you going to tell us in the midst of persecution and all of that? In James, and in chapter 2, and picking up, please, if I can, you'll catch it. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Sliding down, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith is the outside, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful word. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to what? To please me. If you're going to come to me, I must thee that I am. Without faith. Faith is what? Is the one thing where you have to leave your resources, yourself. There's nothing in you. You're saying faith. I have faith in the bus leaving on time, etc. You don't make the bus. You don't put gas in the bus. You don't tell the bus. You believe it. That's what you do. You have faith in the key in your ignition. You put the key in the ignition and you turn the key, and assuming it's the right key, you turn the key and the key starts. And the key starts. That'll be interesting. And the engine starts. Wow. By faith. By faith. You're going to have lunch by faith, aren't you? Now, the average person, unless you've got the facilities, are you going to check to see if your McDonald's hamburger is pure? Are you going to do that? A pure with all the so-called nutrients and everything, you know. You aren't going to do that. You're just going to go and eat, aren't you? Whatever it is, you're glad to get it. And you eat it. That's what you do, by faith. God said there's no way to honor me except by faith. You've got to reach out of yourself and believe me. I am who I am. You believe that he is. Wow, okay. So God works. And verse 26, for as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So you got to try. You got to say, I believe God. That's why you'll pick it up next time if the Lord tarries. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That's what you got to show it. I want to see it. Anything in my name. Ah, that's another tricky one, isn't it? How can anyone ask? And we had it right. I can see the guy right over there sitting there years ago. Do you really believe that you could move a tree into the ocean? I said, if it's God's will, you bet your boots. You see, you betcha. Now, wow. Wow. God. Awesome, yes. Now, so God, you got to have works. And so you're looking for them. You know that we have to exercise in order to show our faith. How can we have faith in you? And believe you, unless we think that you, the Spirit of God, and the glory of God, and the magnificence of your presence in our heart, the heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory, wow. All of that has to be real. Uh-huh. And it gives you a whole new, everything becomes new, the old has passed away. You don't work with that. It's there. You just don't count on it. You use it. You know. And you look to God. Wow. I started to say in the, I meant to go so fast, in the Garden of Eden, that's what God moved it. So we aren't in the Garden of Eden. But the Garden of Eden, the God who made the Garden of Eden wonderful, is in you. The God who made and kept the Garden of Eden, you received him as your Savior. Wow. Now, and so therefore God, looking over to Hebrews, not far away, we did that last time, a little bit. And in Hebrews chapter 4, just getting the essence of this, all this, we just did all these things in some detail. So here's chapter 4. And remember, it's all about rest, and we shared together that God, Genesis chapter 2, 1, 2, 3, God rested on the seventh day. There is no morning and evening in Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. There is no morning and evening. All the other 6 days are morning and evening. Come the seventh day, there is no morning and evening. It's all finished. That's what it is. He said, I finished it. I'm all done. I've finished it all. Now it has to show itself. Before then, back in forever, when there is in God's timelessness, Christ, the Lamb of God, died when nothing's created. And God already had the plan. The plan was all done. The design was all finished. The painter hadn't even picked up a brush yet, but he already had the painting. The builder, remember the old colonial builders, they didn't have blueprints. What they had is in here. And marvelously, they built that precisely. Think of the big cathedrals and the buildings of centuries ago. How could you do that? How could you go way up on top? Remember, you ever see the steeples up there? Did you ever think about that? They didn't have a helicopter, you know, that lowered a guy down and he could work. Did you ever think how they got up there and how they fixed that? And they did it. I'm impressed. They weren't stupid ape people. You know that. Adam and Eve and everyone else were very smart. We have become stupider. Is that all right? If we didn't have what we have, we couldn't do it. If you didn't have, no offense, if you didn't have your smartphone that's smarter than you, if you don't have your smartphone, you couldn't do a lot of things. They didn't have smartphones. They didn't even have a telephone. They just could do it. They could do it. Wow. No, we aren't smarter. We just have more stuff. And we have more pills. That's why we can live long. Remember the Middle Ages, dying off at 40s and then there. Now, we can live. We take pills. Take the pink pill, you can live to 94. Wow. You know, it's the way we are. Now, so God, here's Hebrew 4. And God, you rested. Everything you're going to do is coming from that which is finished. All it has to do is be outworked, like the painting, the building. God, you already finished it. It's already done. And you already know that from Hebrews Ephesians 2, 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God, here we are. And it's your job to outwork. Outwork what? What you have in mind. So when we come to know you as our Savior, you didn't save us, you didn't bring us into the world to be sinners and sin. No, you brought us into the world to save us, sinners, so that we could know you and honor you and look to you. And what did you have in mind? I had in mind before you were ever created. I died for you. That's why I let you get born. Otherwise, you couldn't get born. I let you get born, have birth. So then what? So you could know me. And when you came to know me, you'd understand before anything was ever created, before you existed, I had a wonderful plan for your life. I had a wonderful plan for your life. I had a wonderful everything. So when you came to know me as your Savior, your whole world changed. Your old things are new. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. God, you do something wonderful for us. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I want you to know. I want you to know. God, you're wonderfully delighted. Therefore, Hebrews 4 and verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, not ours, he also has ceased from his, that's ours, our works, as God did from his, because it's finished. So therefore, we aren't trying to go and travel along here and try to find rest, try to find debt, try to see how this is going to go. No, that's what we're doing. That's what people do, trying to find a niche to work, home, marriage, all coming and going and doing what they're doing. They're doing that. That's what they do. But, God, what do we know? Well, when we believe and know you as our Savior, we're to look to you, for you, Ephesians 2:10, we are your workmanship in Christ Jesus. That's the way it all is going to happen, because we're to be conformed to the what? To the image of his Son. Right? All things work together for good, Romans 8:28, that you would be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he's after. That was finished before you ever existed. And when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God's going to do all of that. So God, you're going to outwork it. That's right. So what are we doing? We're looking for you, for the outwork, your goodwill, and we have a relationship. You're painting, it's a silly illustration, his bulletin, like a paintbrush. And here you are. And God's going to take you, paintbrush, and he's painting, and he's going to do, it's all in his head, he's going to paint, and he puts the little, give you some real prestige thing. I'm going to call you a dandelion. There's lots of them. Of all the things in a great big painting, just to be a little dandelion. I mean, that's pretty prestigious, you know, a dandelion. And he takes the dandelion and takes all the stuff around it, and he already has that. So the believing heart's going to go, what? Your work, it's your work, God, and I cease from my own works because I want your work. I can only know what I know. My ways and my thoughts are way down here. Yours, Isaiah 55, are way up here in the heavens. So God, I'm not going to compete with you. All I can do is honor you. And I'll work it. Outwork it? Works. That's going to work. I'm going to go. And all these things. Philippians 2:12. You already know these things. You say, boy, he's saying that again. You betcha. You betcha until you know it. When you're living this stuff, then you'll even never say that. The people only say that when they aren't listening. They aren't interested. People that are interested can't absorb it. They hear it 1,000 times, hear it 10,000 times. And that's how you grow. When you don't want to grow, I heard that. Oh yeah, I know that. Yeah, I got it. You know it. I hear people say, oh, I know the Bible. Good for you. Good for you. I haven't even started on the Bible. So there you are. I haven't even started the book. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and in the process, we're going to stop our own works and let you outwork your good work in our life, work, home, school, play. So we do the ordinary things in an extraordinary way, and we do them. And God, and in the process, we're learning to trust you. We're being conformed. All things work together. And you're going to go, I started to say, Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with, there's the word work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do or work his good pleasure. Do, W-O-R-K, work. That's what God you want to do. So God, we're going to work. What are we working? I'm working out what God's got in mind. So how do we do that? We get out of bed, we go to school, work, home, and we do all of these things, and we do them in an ordinary way, trusting God, thanking God, giving thanks, and do you remember how much it said? Remember, he said it more than once, Ephesians 5:20, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Giving thanks, how often is that, George?
Always.
In what? In everything. What do you mean everything? Everything? Yeah. Because all of that, I let it happen, and out of it, that's where the dandelion, the daisy's growing. Do you understand? That's what's happening. Oh, I fell down. Whatever, all the different things. We get sickness and all of that. Hard things. We get fail. We are faulty. But God, that's right. That's how you learn. That's how you learn. That's how you get educated. So you learn to trust me. I told you, without me, you can do nothing. So listen to me. But I have to teach you that because you're intent on doing it for you. But it isn't about you, 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. We don't live unto ourselves anymore. We live unto you, God. We don't live unto ourselves. So it isn't about me or my wife, whatever. No, it's about you, God. And in the process, you have an awesome life, an awesome relationship to God in a most awesome way. And therefore, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you remember Paul helping believers in Corinth. And the building. We are God's, verse 9, we are God's husbandry. We're God's garden. What do you do with a garden? You take and plow and dig and remove stuff and fix the garden. That's right, all the time. Yeah. That's right. You're God's garden, cultivated field. You're God's. And you're God's building. God's building, a temple, a building. Well, then you keep pounding nails and keep doing things. That's right. That's right. And sliding quickly, verse 11. And for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. What are we going to build on? Our works. Our works are going to be built upon what? Upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. We can't step out here into nowhere. No, we've got to stand on his wonderful person, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're going to stand on his wonderful person, and he's brought to us all the glory of God's glorious person by way of the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, and that's what he wants. So I got to stand there and grow. And everything I do, I want to do it in relating to you, God. So whatever I do, the ordinary, extraordinary, whatever I do, eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whatever we eat or drink or do, we're to do it to what? Do you remember the word? To the glory of God. Which glory? That's the glory you gave us. That's the relationship you gave us. To whom? To you. Wow, to our work it. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing, God. Wow. And then, that every man's work will abide, you know, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Every man's work, verse 13, shall be made manifest, clear, public, plain, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try, put to the test. What's it going to test? Every man's work. of what kind it is. This isn't talking about the Bema seat of Christ, Revelation 20, of the unsaved. This is talking about the church, the believers, the Bema seat for believers. What are you going to test? Their works. I want to know about their works. Is it gold, silver, precious stone that can stand the fire? Our God is a consuming fire. Or is it wood, hay, and stubble that burned up? And by the way, because we already know, not by works of righteousness which we've done. So, and the works of the flesh, Galatians 2, 19, 20. The works of the flesh, forget that. So what do we do? Well, we have a new relationship. We can be carnal. You couldn't be carnal when you're unsaved. You're dead in sin. You have to get saved. And then you aren't what? You aren't functioning right. And then you're going to reap, verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet it's by fire. So, why? Because you're saved. You aren't saved because you feel good. You're saved because you received who? Our Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why you're saved. That's the only reason you're saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath no life. The reason you're saved is Christ in you. No Christ in you, no saved. Not saved. Nope. Got to have that. And you're either going to understand being saved or you're going to follow suit and with the whole system's going another direction. And you're all right, Christmas is what I want to do, the people like me, the friendly, and you know. Well. Nope. God, and what you're doing is, you aren't disappointed, God? Nope. I'm going to do it. And I want you to know, you're going to be saved just by fire. And at which point, I'm going to do a wonderful work in you anyway. I'm going to make you like my Son. That's what I'm going to do anyway. But you could have had, what you could have had. But you never chose to do it. How many choose to do it? Well, not many. Church history is not very good. If you're looking for evidence of this. But God said it. He means it. Believe it. And let it happen in your life. And you'll find life is quite a thing. To live life, His life, is quite a thing. And that's what it's about. And if you don't get there, I understand. You have to get there. If you don't get there, then you sit here. And pretty soon you're bored. Because it isn't what? It isn't, well, God isn't trying to satisfy your heart as a heart. He's trying to satisfy His honor and glory in your heart by His grace. And it's His grace that's in your heart in Christ Jesus that God's working with. And that's what God wants to do. And God help us. Do you understand a little bit? It's an awesome thing to be a child of God. There's nothing like it in forever. Moses will never know what you know. David will never know what you know. The millennial people will never know what you know. You're going to have something, you already have it. So therefore, we aren't trying to find rest. Where is rest? What is this talking about? Where am I going to find all these things? You already have them. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you already have them. You don't look for them, and you don't work for them, and you don't find them. You already have them. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you already have a Savior. Then be saved. You already have rest. Then exercise it. Our Father and God, thank you for the your grace, patience, and thank you, God, thank you, people bearing it all. So deal with us. It's an awesome thing, God. It makes everything else in a whole lifetime of living, makes it look like nothing in the light of what you're doing. So God, would you, Spirit of God, who's going to make this happen except you? And you just need a willing heart to love you with all our heart and soul. Not a half a heart, not sometime, but to love you with all our heart and soul. God, to seek you and find you. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your consistency, your persistency. God, thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.